Welcome, everyone, once again to another episode of the NOC.
Knock.
Nerd out. Cast. See, you're not too injured that you can still do that.
It hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Oh, cast.
There goes the plane.
Turtle head.
We have a semi-fallen icon here tonight.
Semi.
Well,
we
I mean,
do have a fallen
you're,
icon.
You're on your way.
We do have a fallen icon now.
We do?
Yeah.
Who passed?
Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, yeah. That's what happens when you miss a week.
That's true.
Yeah. We're coming off our spring break and got to get caught up on some stuff.
Yeah.
Mr. Hawking. So what did we do this week, guys? Or 2 weeks? That spring break. Do some traveling?
Yeah.
No.
I know some of you guys did.
I worked.
Drove to Texas and drove back.
How many hours is that?
13 hours.
Well, that's not bad.
No.
That's not bad.
You know, you download 13 of our podcasts. And
I watched Harry Potter on the way down.
While driving?
See,
how do you do that?
Lord of the Rings on the way back.
I don't know if you
while
should,
driving?
I don't know if you should admit that on air.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, we have so many cops to listen to this.
Yep. Let's see. To my right, we have
Scout the Ginger Ninja.
The Ninja Ninja.
The Engine Ninja.
He's Engine.
Rev.
So. I said it.
Oh, you said?
I said so.
Yeah. All right.
All right, sorry. Trash man.
Taking out the trash. Taking
out
the trash.
You still get your song.
Trash is out.
Shantek, how's everyone doing? Glad
Shantek!
Man. All right, so spring break. We did some traveling.
Yeah.
You guys did some traveling.
I did
a little bit.
I worked.
Nothing major.
But everybody seemed to get away and kind of relax a little bit. I did have a couple days off work, so I got to relax. A little R&R.
And you played some 7 Days to Die.
That's what I did.
Some. You can't listen. Don't totally believe everything my wife says. I mean, you know, I might have played it for an hour that day.
Yeah.
But anyway, or two or three. I don't remember. That's on spring break.
yeah.
So, Rick, you stayed working. You didn't go anywhere, right?
I worked.
Okay. Well, good. Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't have the country shut down just because of spring break.
Right.
All right.
But I'm having my spring break in 2 weeks or a week in a few days.
Oh, yeah. You're getting ready to go on a...
I'm going to Florida.
Yeah.
A 3 hour tour.
I'm going to go see the Harry Potter stuff. The what's that called? The Wizarding
World.
I can't even pronounce it.
Well, shame on you.
Oh, but while in Texas, I did bring you back some treats.
Ranchitos?
Oh, these are Texas chips?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Let's see.
They're not hot.
They do everything bigger in Texas.
They're not hot, but they're really,
Cheetos.
Really good.
That's the knockoff of the Doritos.
Oh, is it?
So can we have these?
Rancheritos?
They're very tasty.
Rancheritos.
Yeah, they're Frito-Lay.
They have
Frito,
a dark tint to them.
Rancheritos.
What's this say right here, Rick? There's a badge on it.
El mero mero sabor ranchero. That's
what's
in Mexican.
That
those are better.
That's Mexican talk?
Yeah, that's the Mexican dialect.
What's it mean?
The something ranch flavor.
Like, look at the back. The entire back is in Spanish.
Oh.
You bought these?
That's
I did.
Spanish brand, Sabrita.
Hmm. Yeah. You got some good flavor.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. They're
it's
better
pretty good.
Than others.
Good job, Cal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting my stocks.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Still my company.
In Texarkana.
Still
Texarkana.
Goes to the old retirement fund, don't it?
Sure does.
Those are staying here, just so you know.
Pretty good.
Oh, I was taking them home with me. Man.
Man, you look
well, thanks
little
for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for the not gift.
Anybody see Tomb Raider?
Yes.
Scalf has. He
liked
it.
Oh, yeah. A couple of us went
I liked
to the,
it, actually.
The movies.
No.
Tomb Raider.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, how does it stand up to the old Angelina Jolie Tomb Raiders?
Better?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
I read somewhere they're saying it's the best video game movie so far.
Really?
Do you agree with that?
I still like Mortal Kombat better.
That movie's so good. It's so bad, but it's so
probably
good.
The best. It's probably the best video game movie that I've been released.
Yeah, but it does not hold up. Have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget.
I mean, you have to consider when it came out and how much controversy there was behind the video game. And
I did see it in the theater.
Super Mario?
No, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
He's not listening.
And then the ref chimes in there for a second. No, I wish I would have seen Super Mario Brother.
Now, I was going to see Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
But then somebody's like, do you know Regal does $5 movies now, too?
They do.
On Tuesdays and Sundays.
And Sundays.
And Sundays. So I'm like, okay, we're going to watch The Greatest Showman again. So we went again and watched it on Tuesday.
Were you guys up dancing in the aisle?
We cried again. Dude, we're like, it's a tear fest in there. Everybody's crying. Never. I love that movie.
Dude.
Yeah.
I bought it.
The digital download.
Digital download.
I'm buying it tomorrow.
I bought it the Tuesday morning. My whole family's gone. I have like 15 minutes before I'm going to leave to get to church. I'm like, okay, let me just watch some of the special features, the songs. And I'm like, crying, getting ready to go to the door, wiping tears on my face, going to the church. I'm like, this is crazy. It's still so good, though.
What was...
why are you looking at Flop Doodle?
So you went and watched... Steve, did you go to the movies?
We saw I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
And let me just tell you, I'm gonna talk about it during my A Civil Truth, but it is fantastic.
Is it a good movie? Because, like... Some of those church movies are not good.
This is made really, really well. It's acted really, really well. It focuses on his story, which is for those who've ever, if you've ever led worship or, you know, if you listen to Christian music, you've heard the song I Can Only Imagine over and over and over.
Sure.
You will look at this song completely different. I mean, you'll never sing it the same again, knowing that it took a life. Whole life of experience to write that song.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, or I'll just say this. I cried.
For real?
Through the whole thing. Because it was so powerful. You know, it's not as hokey. I mean, sorry, Christian friends out there, but some Christian movies come across as that.
Oh, yeah.
This is more like in the vein of, if you've seen the Case for Christ movie, which was really well done.
That is well done, yes.
This is just like that. It's well done. Okay. Dennis Quaid plays the dad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really good actor. I mean, it's good.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it was actually playing down in Bedford. That's what...
Yeah.
In our hometown here.
Thankfully.
Oh, don't even bring that up.
Don't even bring that up. Now it is?
Yeah.
You...
At Regal. For $5.
Are you sure?
You can go... Did I stutter?
No, but it's not been down here since its release. I don't... Okay.
What did he say?
Did I stutter?
No, what did he say?
Annihilation.
Oh. All right. Well, let's move into... We got a Fallen Icon, right?
Yeah.
So, Scalf, you want to take this?
I don't have it pulled up.
Okay.
We got another...
I just figured we would just...
Fallen Icon.
Okay, well, all right, so...
Charles Lazarus died. He's the founder of Toys R Us.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that the reason why that's going under?
Oh, I don't know.
Going under.
It's probably going under because of Amazon.
Yeah, that's why.
Do you see what's making a comeback, though?
KB Toys.
KB Toys.
Is it really?
Yeah.
With the down.
Just to have that in the Bloomington Mall.
They're telling Toys R Us employees, don't worry about it.
We'll pick you up.
For real?
Seriously? How are they making a comeback?
What is that?
I don't know.
Or what are they doing different?
I have no idea.
Wow.
It's focusing on online sales, maybe? I don't. Yeah.
Well, that would do it.
I haven't bought anything off of anywhere. I buy everything on Amazon.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You're part of the problem, Rick.
I'm going to admit that I'm part of the problem
as
well.
I love Amazon.
I know.
It's right. Take it straight to my dough.
So, Stephen Hawking died March 14th, 2018, at the age of 76.
76. Which is just a few years beyond what doctors told him he would probably live to be, right?
Yeah, I think so.
First prognosis was he wouldn't get out of his teens or 20s. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was real early. But yeah, he's looked upon as one of the smarter people on the face of the planet at the time, whether you agree with that or not. He did have some pretty cool things to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you couldn't deny him his intelligence of the astronomy and all that. What was his doctorate anyway?
He's an astrophysicist.
Astrophysicist, okay, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Or theoretical physicist.
Ah. Yeah. I don't know the difference.
Like Dr. Malcolm. Oh. Chaos, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Chaos theory.
Okay. So.
Squirrel.
I wonder if they're going to shoot his ashes in outer space like they did Carl Sagan's. Have they said? I know that they... Yeah. I don't know. Carl Sagan got launched in outer space, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. And the guy that created Star Trek?
Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry, yeah.
That's cool. No, that one's cool. I don't know who the other guy is.
Okay. All right, well, we wish him well, and can't think of anything else, though.
No.
Rick.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said.
Okay, good.
So, how's everybody doing?
When you want to laugh, but you know you shouldn't laugh. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Where?
Ooh, okay.
KB Tours. Did you bring some?
Bring yeah, some we'll up? Bring it. We'll talk about it. Okay.
All right. So there's Fallen Icons for the week. I guess we're ready to move into CFN.
Bam.
Are we for real?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
should we say something else real quick?
No. I mean, I'm just not stalling for time because I haven't had that thing pulled up.
Of course.
Here we go.
Yep.
Fresh news.
Yeah.
I hope we have some very fresh news this week.
Oh man, I got tons of news, man. Tons of short news.
Oh, yeah. even better, because I got really nothing.
You can play so bittersweet news.
Toys R Us.
Toys R Us is shutting down, right?
Yeah.
However, all the sales are starting. Liquidation sales. So
yeah, there you
go. They might have some good stuff there. So
yeah, I need to get a hold of my buddy and tell him to go to Toys R Us for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good.
Somebody needs to pick me up the Narwhal Pop
from Elf.
Elf, because it was a Toys R Us exclusive, which means it'll be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So
that's thinking ahead.
Related news: Amazon is thinking of buying their empty buildings. The Toys R Us buildings.
What? Is that serious or is it a joke?
Serious. It's crazy, man. They're just more.
You're going to open up toy stores?
No, just a just to use.
Would
the
that
building.
Not be funny? I mean, seriously, if Toys R Us closed and Amazon created
that's
a
crazy.
Store that you go in and buy with no employees,
yeah.
We just go up and you order it.
Amazon.
And Amazon is just all robots.
Yeah.
It's drones it's flying crazy. Around, dropping presents on you.
You sit in a chair and you say, this is what I want, and a robot brings it to you or something.
Okay, you guys have to go on YouTube later.
That's a cool idea.
And you've probably seen it already, but the Won't You Be My Neighbor trailer? Have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen that.
You guys need to check that out. The trailer alone will make you cry.
Hmm.
It's a Mr. Rogers documentary. So y'all need to check it out.
So aren't they making a movie about him as well? I mean,
yeah, this is something else. Tom Hanks is doing
it. Tom Hanks is doing the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wow. This is like a Select Theaters, June 8th. I might go see that. Because that show was legit.
Dude, part of my childhood, man.
That show was cool.
I watched it all the time.
He had,
so did I.
You know, he had the, you know, black people back then, you know. And that story's awesome, man. You guys need to check that out. I get excited about
stuff. I think we need some more information on that, Rick.
Well, because you got to think the show. You got to think the year the show was made.
Yeah.
So.
He had black viewers watching.
No, black people in the show.
Oh,
remember when the show they had a lot of segregation and all that stuff, and he would have the he would have the little black kids and the white kids with their feet together in the pool and stuff like that. Back then, that's when they would throw bleach in the pool so the blacks won't get in the pools.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know like American history?
I do, but I didn't know they threw bleach in the pool.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, they don't teach that in school.
We didn't do that here in the North.
No.
But anyway, so. The Predator trailer might be coming soon. Why about black? It's true.
No, not you. Not you.
Oh. Anyways, so the Predator trailer, look out for it because it's coming soon.
I want to see it.
I'm
looking forward to it.
That's Shane Black.
Blizak. Yeah.
Yep.
Blizak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blizak.
So.
Shazam Blizak.
September 14th, 2018.
I want to see it.
When's the trailer? They haven't said or
they say soon.
Say too
soon.
Soon.
I'm just reading the thing.
Maybe during this podcast.
It might be out already because this news is from like 8 weeks ago. Off to you, Reverendo.
The Reverend. I'm going all Marvel here because one, I'm just after watching that last trailer.
That trailer, yo.
Oh, man.
If you haven't seen the Avengers Infinity War trailer,
yeah. We haven't bought our tickets yet.
You need to watch it because it's pretty epic.
I think I'm gonna let you buy them this time. Let's go.
Yeah, because I still owe Shannon money.
Yeah.
From last time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
He's gonna.
All you guys.
All you did. We all did.
I gave you money.
He's paying mine because of the pop.
Yeah. So I owe you double, actually. Yeah.
No, serious.
I'll buy.
That's
you,
what he said.
I'll buy. I will buy your ticket this time.
It's on the record, actually.
I paid it forward.
It'll work itself out.
I paid it forward. Yeah. I ain't worried about it.
So I'm going straight Marvel news.
I really enjoyed that movie, just so you know.
Just straight Marvel.
Yeah, straight. Let's do it.
Straight Marvel, because that's all I care about at the moment. You might saw this. It's been on numerous websites, Dark Horizons, comicbook.com, blah, 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 blah. Headline is, if it'll load, for some reason it's not. Here we go. Chris Evans is done with Captain America? But based off of some of his comments, it seems like he knows. It says those involved in the making of Infinity War have made it quite clear that with contracts of various members coming to an end, numerous characters will be killed off and permanently, no going back. In an interview with the New York Times, Evans was asked specifically about his role in the future, and he said, quote unquote, "You want to get off the train before they push you off." And the article adds that Evans expects that the planned reshoots in the fall will mark the end of his tenure in the familiar red, white, and blue super suit.
Wow.
So that's one. And if you have followed this, you know that my guess. I don't know. They haven't invited me on set. I've not read the script. My guess all along has been Stark and Rogers are gone at some point in time with 3 and 4. Did we talk about the pre-sale?
Not on here, we haven't.
Within the first 6 hours, of it already broke records. But guess what it has done for the first 72 hours of pre-sales, okay? AMC is reporting that the Avengers Infinity War pre-sales more than tripled the next closest superhero movie, Black Panther, within each film's first 72 hours. So Infinity War was also 700% ahead of Captain America Civil War. And over 1,100% ahead of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow.
Pre-sales. So, yeah, they're saying it's going
to be
the biggest opening of all time. It's getting close to that now. Avengers Infinity War writer Steve McFeely says fans have no idea what Avengers 4 is about. Hmm. So, this says...
I feel that we do.
Yeah. He says four. This is what he says. You have no idea what Avengers 4 is, McFeely says. Nobody knows, and that's what makes me particularly excited. I look all the time on the internet, and people have no idea.
Hmm. Well,
that could be cool.
Who is this?
The writer. Mm. So, you know, he's seeing all the fan theories. I think I have... The third one figured out, but maybe not. Another one here, of course, James Gunn. I mean, it would be neat to be a part of the Marvel family, especially if you're a director and you're in the creative process. Why? Because you get to go see all the movies before anybody else. And what I love about James Gunn is great filmmaker, but huge fan.
Yeah,
and usually he will. Comment if you really like something, and you know he kind of will ignore it if he doesn't. Well, being a month away, a select few people have seen the cut of Avengers Infinity War, one of those being James Gunn. He has released a tweet that says, "Avengers Infinity War is incredible. Wow!" with 4 exclamation points, and that's all I'll say for the time being. Now, again, this is a guy in the Marvel family, probably not going to say anything really bad, but still, yeah. James Gunn is pretty honest when it comes to things. Mm-hmm. He's saying he's seen it. It's incredible. Wow. And that's all I'll say for the time being. So that was my last one. But a lot of cool Marvel news. Oh, or one more. They said in an interview, and this is not speculation, the Russo brothers, they said, you know, who has the most screen time in Infinity War? So the third one. Who? Thor has the most screen time out of anybody.
Oh, really?
That's what they're saying. And
Spider.
Hulk.
Doc Strange.
Oh. Really?
That's what they said, you know, when they asked. And they said it this way. Well, I think, you know, more, you know, if you're saying screen time, although everybody has screen time, Thor and Doc Strange probably had the most screen time out of anybody. I'm sure it's divided up. Maybe they have 50%, you know, rest. That's 50, you know, close. But still, he says they had the most screen time. I would not have expected that.
Not Doc Strange.
No. Over to you, Injun Ninja.
Injun Ninja. Injured Ginger. All
right. Ginger.
Now, while you're doing that, I'm going to find some jokes.
Lord of the Rings show on Amazon could be the most expensive TV series ever.
Oh, gosh.
Where does this come from? BGR.com. According to the report, Amazon offered $250 million for the rights to the property, but the cost could balloon to $500 million or more for production and marketing over the course of two seasons. Providing the data in the Reuters article is accurate, the Lord of the Rings series could be the most expensive TV show ever made. Just to put that into context, the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy cost $281 million to produce before taking advertising into account.
What?
The very first? Wait, which ones?
The entire trilogy.
Oh. Okay, the first Lord of the Rings.
No, the entire trilogy, Lord of the Rings trilogy.
They made all three of those?
At once.
For $281
million.
I'm thinking of the Hobbit was a billion, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't the billion they gave them, like, with advertising and everything, it was like, maybe it was $300 million a movie. It was close to a billion for the trilogy.
Oh, I'm not sure.
To produce.
Yeah. And it still made money. I mean, even though it was made...
HBO spent $100 million
at least a billion a piece, I think.
Sixth season of Game of Thrones.
How much?
$100 million.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's only like 8 episodes.
It's gonna have to.
Yeah.
To do it justice, because the bar is set.
Yeah.
At least, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's set. So you have to at least do what Jackson did as close as you can.
Well, and I think I pointed this out to you guys, but Jeff Bezos could himself fully fund the entire production and still be the richest man in the world.
He'll still have 128 left over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of money.
Do they have a when is all this supposed to take place?
I was thinking like
they haven't really given
They don't have a date for it. Okay. Yet, I don't think.
I mean, the deal's been done.
Yeah.
The rest of this is just them kind of...
They're kind of putting everything together.
Getting all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait.
Man.
I know. So, this comes from BusinessInsider.com. KB Toys owner plots return as Toys R Us goes out of business.
Wow.
They're saying we're going to save the toy industry. KB Toys, this is some bullet points. KB Toys, the defunct rival of Toys R Us, went bankrupt in 2009. Strategic Marks, which acquired the KB Toys trademark in 2016, is now plotting to revive the toy store. KB Toys pop-up shops could come by this Christmas, with permanent mall stores potentially coming later.
Wow, that's so crazy.
I know. As Toys R Us, the largest toy store chain in America, prepares to close up shop, an old rival could be born to take its place. Strategic Marks, a company that specializes in reviving dead brands, has a plan to give new life to the KB Toys name. According to CNN Money, Strategic Marks purchased the KB Toys brand from Bain Capital in 2016. Bain, along with Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts, and Vornado Realty Trust, invested $1.3 billion in the $6.6 billion leveraged buyout in 2005. Toys R Us had purchased the rights to KB Toys in 2009.
Bane from Batman. I will buy it at toy store.
Yeah, that's basically just the bullet points.
I mean, that's cool, though. I mean,
yeah.
It kind of saddens me a little bit if there's not a place that you can go.
Yeah, just to get toys. I mean, still.
Yeah. Not that I went a lot when I was younger.
I mean, there wasn't one close to us. But
right.
Right.
Anytime I saw one, I wanted to go in
just
one.
Just knowing they existed, it was kind of like
Yeah. But also, you got to think, a lot of those same toys are in Walmart now, too.
It's true.
They're at Target, Walmart.
But, like...
But there's still something about it.
Yeah. A store totally full of toys.
You don't want to go into...
I love Toys R Us. I'm
like, me
saying.
Personally, I don't want to go to Walmart to buy a video game or something like that. I'll go to GameStop. But, like, you know, it's like... They usually have a bunch of different toys that Walmart and
those other
stores don't have. I love Toys R Us. They got a lot of exclusives, but I'm saying...
Part of
the reasons that they're going downhill, Amazon, Walmart.
Right.
Yeah. Know. I mean, it's the nature of the beast.
It's unfortunate.
But, you know, I would love to see, you know, this resurgent.
Yeah, and
to have it exist.
Have something new added to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make it fit, you know.
Is FAO Schwartz still around?
What is it?
Yeah.
FAO Schwartz.
And, yeah. In the big city.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is on Polygon.com. Ark Survival Evolved is coming to Nintendo Switch.
All right.
What? Coming this fall.
That's interesting.
You like that one.
That's a good game.
The Rev can get that. And
it's a fun
But now, one. Hey, now we have, I have a Switch and a PS4 now in my home. So.
What? For real? I'm going to have to go to your house.
Where'd you get a PS4?
Presley was able to trade in. My youngest daughter saved her birthday money, was able to trade in her PS3, all her games, and had enough birthday money left over to get a PS4 from GameStop. So now I have one. So, I mean, I can go.
Yeah.
I can do either one now.
No excuses now.
Now I have to get Star Wars.
We need to get him on 7 Days to Die.
Yeah. It's...
Nothing's going to be, though. It's in Presley's room. So when you guys start playing, she's going to be sleeping.
You just put that.
You know, one day she's going to wake up and look over, and I'm sitting in her chair, you know, with her headphones on. But, I mean, she's playing what? What game is she super involved in now? Fortnite? I mean, she's Fortnite.
It's pretty popular right now.
Yeah.
But now I'm connected to everybody.
It's a great time waster, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think I wasted 2 hours straight playing Zelda the other day.
Especially when you can... log on and build something and run away from zombies for a couple of hours.
Get freaked out when the sun goes down. And
yeah. And then die like 20 times when you're trying to get back to everybody else.
When your buddies
else.
Leave you and you're all by yourself trying to figure out how to ride a dirt bike.
And then I had to...
It changes things.
I had to send him a picture of the map just so he could get to where we were.
Yeah, I was totally lost.
Nicolas Cage cast as Superman in Teen Titans.
Yeah,
Go
I saw
Money.
That's awesome.
Put the bunny down.
So, seems like Nicolas Cage will finally get to play Superman after all. He's been cast as Superman in the Teen Titans Go to the Movies, where he'll join. I don't know who those people are. But yeah, I thought that was funny.
All right.
Still all right, this comes from Collider.com. So, last week, I think it was last week, yeah. Was South by Southwest. And there, Steven Spielberg showed up to screen Ready Player One early to people.
Wow.
Steven.
Steven. There's a lot of people are saying that it's really good.
That's next weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people were really
on Good Friday.
So.
Good Friday service. It'll be even better Friday.
I was say we're a little busy Friday night, but if they got a late one.
Well, what's Friday?
Good Friday. Service.
Good Friday service.
We got to play?
I just found out last night.
Good Friday
service. I just found out just now.
I knew about it, and I forget everything.
Yeah, I made sure Shannon knew because
I'll forget.
At the end, as long as I have a piano and my guitar, we can do it. If it's just me on guitar,
we'll limp through it somehow.
I would cry.
But yeah, the people who saw it, I watched a YouTube review, Angry Joe Show on YouTube, and they seemed to all really like it. So
I hope so, man.
That's coming from people that read the book and didn't read the book.
Good.
So.
I'm hoping. I mean, Steven Spielberg, I'm sorry, he's really good a filmmaker, but when has he made a great action movie?
They're saying this is his, like,
I hope so.
This is big, so.
I hope so, because, I mean, we know Indiana Jones 4 was awesome.
I like that movie.
I blame George Lucas. But anyway.
So.
It was, you know.
How can you have three guys
not even go there.
Agree on a script
and think this was a great idea?
Yeah, they all, because they said they weren't going to do it unless they all three could agree. So you got three
great
minds. Man.
There's parts of that movie I love.
Yes, parts.
There's parts of it I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The nuclear thing in the fridge.
Or little Indy swinging on the vines.
Swinging the vines with the monkeys.
And then to have it be about, what, aliens at the end of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, let me just tell you, don't see it.
It, I don't.
It's got Gary Oldman in it.
It does?
Yeah.
No way it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
That's the Fifth Element.
Oh.
That's good. Sure. That's good. Yeah. Watch that.
Yeah.
That's a good movie, The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, yeah, I got off topic.
No, I was thinking of The War Doctor. What's his name?
You done?
What's his name?
You done? Scal?
Hurt.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
He's on there.
Yeah, I'm done.
So, what do you guys think of the Miles Morales Spider-Man being canceled?
What?
Why get canceled?
The comic?
The comic?
Mm.
Oh, was it the comic?
Is it just like part of Marvel's reboot?
They're rebooting a bunch of stuff right now.
Yeah, but they killed that, and which that was the one that they were shocked about, but they also killed the Falcon as well, which they kind of knew that wasn't going to go anywhere.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense because there's a new Spider-Man game coming to the PS4, so maybe they're going to use that.
To springboard off that?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't see Marvel canceling a whole bunch of stuff.
I need to get that.
But I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on, people of Netflix world. Mm-hmm. We're all Netflix people.
Yes.
The entire Monty Python catalog.
I saw that. I'm so glad somebody brought
Netflix.
That up.
Now,
what does that include?
They say it's got all the movies and television seasons. But we are not getting it here in the U.S. till later on in 2018. The U.K., along with other continents, will be getting it like at the end of April. But us U.S. people, we got to wait.
It's worth the wait.
But we will get the entire library of Monty Python by the end of this year. So I was happy to.
That will probably get that. New subscribers alone just that.
I would think so.
You'd think so, yeah.
In preparation of Isle of Dogs coming out this weekend.
Is it coming out this weekend?
This weekend?
I have a
There's
rundown
a lot this weekend.
Of the actual the dogs here, in case it's so we can get ready for this.
You have a rundown of the dogs?
First dog, Nutmeg, is voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Chief is Bill Murray. Bill.
Bill has
Rex. And all these people are the same people that are almost in every one of his movies. Rex is Edward Norton. Chief is played by Bryan Cranston, which I think maybe he's new to the ensemble. Duke will probably be our favorite. That's Jeff Goldblum. King is Bob Balaban, which has been he's been in almost all of you have Spots, which is Liev Schreiber. Yeah, there you go. Jupiter is F. Murray Abraham. I think I know who that guy is.
Yeah, you do.
Oracle, which is a little bee, like pygmy dog or something like that. That's Tilda Swinton. Harvey Keitel is Gondo. And then there's a couple more, but I'm not going to go to that. But so that's just a movie I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I am too.
And all
too.
There's all kinds of people in it. It's going to be great. You guys read about the man that died in the theater after getting his head trapped in the seat? It's a really
we wish him well.
Awful story, except it happened overseas, and it was
so
the reason I kind of bring this up. No, it was like in the big recliner chair.
What's his name, Nick?
I don't think it releases his name.
Nearly Headless Nick.
Oh, that was in bad taste.
Not even I laugh at that.
This was, it was in one of the big recliners that Scalf was in when you were down in Texas. Weren't you in a recliner or something? This had like a pneumatic, supposedly this talks about how it had like a footrest that was
And this was like all like electrical, like electronic. Like I pushed a button and then my
That's kind of what this sounds like.
He dropped his phone. He tried to go get his phone. Got his head cut down there. And next thing you know, the thing like killed him. Wow. So going to the movies can be hazardous to your health.
Wow. Get insurance for you.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if you gotta go, I mean, I guess going to the theater is the way to go.
If you gotta go,
hey man, Movie Tavern was the bomb.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
I've never been in anywhere like that, but yeah, I couldn't imagine ordering food and sitting in a big recliner while you watch a movie.
You fall asleep in a regular sense.
Yeah, most expensive nap I've had in a while. Let's see. Weekend box office, people.
Oh, what's the number one?
Wait, is nobody talking about the Cobra Kai series?
No, because we don't have YouTube.
Still, though, what'd you think of the trailer?
I didn't see the news.
I haven't seen it.
Watch the full trailer.
Did you send a link? Because mine didn't work.
Really?
I forgot to check.
I hit it, and I just went. It went to somewhere and just was a picture.
All right. I won't talk about it next time.
I mean, I want to see the trailer.
Oh, my gosh. Just wait. Just wait.
Because I read some.
Does he fight? Do you see him fight?
I'm not saying anything. We're going to watch it. We're done with this podcast. I'm going to pull it up.
Okay, here we go. I read some stuff underneath it, and people are like super excited, but they're just mad that it's on YouTube Red.
I know.
Because it's like it won't get the audience that it should get.
It needs to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
It'd be like Netflix's most popular show.
Yeah. Maybe they'll buy it later.
Do they have Mr. Miyagi like a forest ghost in there? He'll be like.
Fifth week in a row, people. Black Panther held on to the number one spot, bringing in another $26.5 million.
You guys still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I still haven't seen
I've
it.
Seen half of it.
I feel like I've seen half of it.
I'm probably 66%.
Yeah. I just mean these two.
Yeah, I need to see it again. Now that it's $5 at Regal on Sunday, I can go.
Yeah, but now we're getting to the period, though. There's like so many things that I want to see.
I don't know if I can now.
I'll probably just wait.
Panta.
Tomb Raider was really close to beating it out. It got $23.5 million. And here's this is kind of the I wouldn't say shocker, but I can only imagine came in third place this week.
Weekend
$17 million. Pretty good.
What was its budget?
$7 million.
Wow. And it was only on 1,700 screens, or less than that.
1,627 screens. Yeah, so that's
third
like,
place. 17 million. It probably screen, you know, per screen average was
a third less than Tomb Raider and Black Panther. Yeah. They were playing on almost 4,000 screens. So
supposedly this weekend they're bumping it up, so it'll probably stay up there or more or get more.
One of Rick's favorite movies he's seen in a while, Wrinkle in Time, came in at fourth.
My word. Yeah, that's what I also did.
Yes. I figured you tried to forget.
That movie was lame. It wasn't even bad. It was just lame. I forgot about that. That's what I did on spring break.
It's been out for 2 weeks. It's made $60 million in the 2 weeks.
It was awful.
Had a big drop off.
And knowing what they took out of the book. So sad.
So sad.
I didn't read the book, but this movie's terrible.
So sad. Love, Simon at 5, Game Night at 6, Peter Rabbit at 7, Strangers Pray at Night, 8th.
Oh, yeah.
Red Sparrow at 9, Death Wish falling in at 10th. Death Wish has only been out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
When does Quiet Place come out?
It's in April, isn't it?
Quiet.
I don't know. I'm sure we could probably find out if.
I still can't believe John Krasinski directed that.
He directed it?
Yeah.
And he's getting like.
A lot of people are saying, oh my gosh, he's a great director.
He did a fantastic job.
I did not know that.
He should do a Marvel movie.
Wanted to be in.
Uh-huh.
He almost was.
It's quiet.
I just want to see him as Mr. Fantastic.
I could see him do that.
Yeah. That's what it would take. Anybody got that? Quiet Place. Wait, no one's looking at it. Okay.
I'm getting ready to.
All right. So that's it for CFN. Actually, We should probably just move right into our
Let's go
list. Cause
let's go. Let's do it.
List is gonna take us a little while. We had some other things, but we'll just we'll hold on to those till the next one. No, we'll hold on to that. It wasn't new anyway. It was classic. Yeah. So we can hold on to that.
There's one in the last episode that you said would be a lethargic phonics.
Yeah.
Okay, so Quiet Place has a consensus now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is?
So far, 27 out of 27 positive reviews. So it's at 100% right now.
Wow.
Critics' consensus, A Quiet Place artfully plays on elemental fears with a ruthlessly intelligent creature feature that's as original as it is scary and establishes director John Krasinski as a rising talent.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, from leaving the office and all that, I thought it seems like he's just not had good luck with the roles that he's picked.
Do you want another one? Because another has a consensus now.
Uh-oh.
Ready Player One has a Rotten Tomatoes consensus currently standing at 79%.
Uh-oh.
Says, which it's increased. It says, Ready Player One is a sweetly nostalgic thrill ride that neatly encapsulates Spielberg's strengths while adding another solidly engrossing adventure to his filmography.
Oh. Hmm.
I'll shorten it to say, it's a pretty good movie.
I'm.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
We wish him well.
We wish him well.
All right. Remarkable Reels, Rick.
Come on.
Come with me if you want to listen to Remarkable Reels.
Thank you, Arnold, for recording that in my house.
Remarkable Reels.
No!
I can't believe it.
It's a ferret.
Rick, so since this is kind of your baby, why don't you let us know what we're doing this week on
Remarkables? Okay, so this week in Remarkable Reels, we're doing our top five favorite scenes, which means you're watching a movie and this one little scene just blows you away, just takes your breath away, just you're like, wow, that's crazy. It always sticks out. Mm-hmm. It always stands out. So that's what we're doing today.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what if the particular scene that we like is longer than, like, say, 2 or 3 minutes?
No, that's fine. It's just something that's just like crazy.
Like a sequence or a scene that happens. Like
I call it a moment.
A moment. You're like, whoa.
Could it be multiple moments that add up to a bigger?
Sure.
Moment?
Whatever makes you happy.
I've got little moments. I got big moments. I got multiple moments. Mine.
Yeah,
that's the reason why I think
I have one of those.
We're all going to be kind of. This one was difficult for me because
they're all difficult.
Million.
For me. Yeah. Well, I mean, because of how I process things, I make it difficult for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed more time.
We're all going to have the same number one anyway.
We might come back.
I doubt that.
Maybe we'll do a part 2.
We may have to do a part 2. This may be one we'll have a part 2.
Okay.
Because I guarantee I could come up with another 5.
Oh, I could easily. Oh yeah.
I can do like 20 more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, Rick, why don't you start us off?
I'll start. Okay, so, like I said, these scenes take your breath away. So, when I was little, I've always been a Godzilla fan.
Sure.
Ever since I was a little tiny, little Puerto Rican guy. And I would watch him in Spanish. So, anyway, so this movie, there's two Godzillas, right? Two Godzillas. Identical.
Dos Godzillas?
Two Godzillas. Identical Godzillas. So, what happens? The real Godzilla knows something's up.
Of course.
Right? So you know what happens? He breathes fire on the other Godzilla. And guess what? It's Mega Godzilla. It's not regular Godzilla. So that scene in 1974 just blows me away. Because it's so cool back then how they did. You know, it was just the effects weren't, you know, they didn't have CGI. So it's
sure.
The guy in the suit.
They literally probably set a guy on fire.
Yeah, it's just, well, not really. It was kind of like they drew the, it's like really bad, a really bad scene. It's like really, but I love it. I still watch it. Actually, I think I watched it like 2 days ago. Mega Godzilla, when Godzilla discovers that Mechagodzilla, it's not. It's just awesome. He just sets them on fire.
Goosebumps.
I'm like emotional right now talking about
it. I feel like
it.
I've watched
it's
it.
It's like childhood stuff that.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like I've been there. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Up to you. Who's next? How are we doing? Are we just doing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Why change it?
So what I did with my list, I usually came up with 14 moments, and even some moments, there's like multiple moments in one movie. So I'm like, okay, I picked the best one. Okay, again, how my brain works, I process everything. I basically just picked out five and said, I'm going to talk about these five, and I'm putting them in some order because they're all great. My first one is, I remember going to my dad, or with my dad, to the theater in Bedford, used to be on the square.
Mm,
yep. And when this movie came out, what I remember is rolling up, to the square in my dad's car and seeing a line coming out of that theater all the way around. And so excited to see the movie. You know, we waited in line. To me, it's one of the funniest movies from the early 80s. It's been on numerous ones of my list. But there's one, again, multiple moments that make me weep. Just kidding. They don't, but they make me laugh. But still.
Yeah, no, I get
but
it.
But when I watch it, because to me, a film moment has to stay there. Like I should be able to go right to it and watch it, and it still have the same impact on me as it did. Well, this does, and this is from Ghostbusters. Okay? Again, a movie, to me, that has multiple moments, multiple funny moments. Bill Murray is absolutely stinking hilarious and has the best lines.
Yeah.
This one, in particular, though, is the slimy, or I'm slimed. Okay, he's slimy, right?
Yeah.
So you know they're just getting up to speed. They're just starting. They get the call that there's this one at this hotel, working up to it. There's the cockroach scene. They're in the elevator. Then they split up and then we'll shoot the lady, who's cleaning the room with a cart of toilet paper. You know that when they blew it up looked like marshmallows and that's what I always thought it was until I grew up. Oh, that's toilet paper. But then Bill Murray, sitting in the hallway watching it come right at him, screaming. Yeah. On his thing.
So good.
Yeah.
And then them running around and the whole build up to it. The music and everything, Dan Aykroyd, running around, and then everything stops. What happened? Stop. He's slimy. That's great. Actual physical contact. Oh my gosh. Still this day I'm like, that is one of the most classic funny moments, man.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
It hits love you, right?
No,
so you get why I
still
this.
Funny. I mean I can just see it in my
it hits
mind.
Hits you. These scenes hit you. That's why that's
I can go right back to it and
that's a feel-good moment there.
Oh, man, it's good. It's good. That's my first one.
All right.
Don't bring us down, Scout.
I won't.
Oh, boy. I'm depressed already.
All right. Mine comes from a movie that came out in 2014. I love space. I love looking at the stars. I love, reading about space, astronomy, all that stuff. So mine comes from Interstellar, and it's the moment right when they're entering into the wormhole, and then when they're in the wormhole and they're, you see the wormhole surrounding all around them, and I don't know, it's just a beautiful shot, and every time I see that, every time I think of Interstellar, I think of that scene, so.
Hmm. Yeah. That movie's got a couple good ones
there.
Is that
the right movie? What? He's hitting the clock on his daughter's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not the clock, the watch.
Yeah, that movie's got a couple powerful scenes in it. It's like, man. Oh, wow. All right, so let me bring everybody down because this one's... this movie... I mean, this movie's not on any of my lists of, top movies or anything, but there's this particular scene at the end of it. While I was watching it, I had no clue what was going on. I just remember being at the edge of the sofa. I was watching in my living room. Totally... lost, didn't know what was going to happen as I watched Morgan Freeman go and retrieve a box and open it slowly.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And then kind of stand up and go,
yep.
Hang on, everybody get away.
I'm exactly what you're talking about.
John Doe's got the upper hand. And I'm just sitting there on the sofa like, what in the world is going on? I'm not very good at figuring things out, I think, because my wife knew. But I just remember just being totally blown away. I'm talking about Seven, of course. The end of Seven where
what's in the box?
Kevin Spacey. Yeah. And that was my reaction while I was watching the movie. I'm sitting there going, what's in the box? What's in the box? And then,
That's an awesome scene.
And
dude.
When it when it was all unfolded and, you know, they're looking for Sloth and
Sloth.
Sloth Love Chunk?
Nope.
Hey, you guys.
Envy. They're looking for Envy and Rage.
For Sloth and Envy?
And those two people became it. Him and Brad Pitt became it. And, you know, it's like, I'm not a huge David Finch guy. I like his movies. Again, this movie's not on any of my list of, like, top 100 or anything, but it's like that particular moment blew me away. And I can go back and rewatch it.
It's true.
And kind of feel that, how I was just so lost. I don't know if you guys had figured it out or anything, but it's like, I was really, like, impressed at the end of that movie. It's not a fun movie to watch.
No, it's tough. Brad Pitt, though, in that part is absolutely fantastic.
Phenomenal. I mean, few movies, that's an instance where, like, I really hadn't, you know, it didn't move me. It wasn't like an emotional thing, like I was all happy, but I mean, just totally took me off guard. I loved the way it was shot, and it worked. It worked for me. So, okay, there's my five. Rev, number four.
Number four, again, this movie has multiple, tons. If I was to do a sci-fi list, this would be one of my top five sci-fi movies of all time. But some scenes I like because it's the first time you've ever seen something. And this has one of those. I think me and Scalf have talked about this one. But it's the bullet slow-mo in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember watching that movie. That was an experience me and my brother had. We went to, it might even been here in Bedford. We went and just watched the trailer and thought, man, this, didn't really know what the movie was going to be about. But this looks good. So me and my brother walk in there. Well, it might have been Bloomington, but that didn't matter. But we're sitting there, and I remember just being floored the whole movie, thinking, this movie is fantastic. I've never seen anything like that. Yeah. And it gets to that point where Neo's starting to be Neo, you know, what he's prophesied to be.
Yeah.
And then the scene on
exactly.
Or on the rooftop, and you start to see the slow motion, and you're like, what did I just watch? Yeah. That's amazing. And there's multiples of those. Mm-hmm. But
during that whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of them. There's, I mean, again, that's one of my favorite movies. But again, you know, the first time, I mean, or that you guys watched it, what'd you think?
Oh yeah, never seen anything
never
like
seen
it before.
Anything like it before.
No,
just totally. But yeah, that's number four still, and I think it's still that movie still holds up really really well.
I think so. I hear people say like, oh, it hasn't done well, but I watched it not too long ago, and it's still great.
Oh yeah, I think it's still great.
Because I didn't see it in theater. I remember renting it, and this is one of the very few movies that as soon as it was done, we started again and watched it right there back to back. I've probably only done that with three or four movies in my entire life, where you watch it and just hit play again.
Oh, it's so good.
But phenomenal.
That was one of the first scenes that popped in my brain of, oh, yeah, that's a classic moment. But yeah.
It's a good one.
All right, this one. This scene or sequence is one that was built up over 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Because we knew it was coming.
What?
And it happened in 2005.
Hmm.
I know what it is.
You know what it is?
Yes, I do.
So it happens in Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's when Obi-Wan and Anakin force push each other. Because like, they're standing there fighting their guts out against each other. And then all of a sudden they just force push each other and push each other back. It's just
so
such a powerful
awesome,
scene,
man.
That I just, yeah.
I mean, that whole fight scene is incredible.
Yeah.
The whole fight scene is a moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still cry, which is stupid.
Uh-huh.
That last scene always hits me when I loved it, you know.
Mm-hmm. You were my brother, Anakin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Tell you what, make an Obi-Wan movie right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do it.
So, yeah, that's my number four because it was just such a powerful.
That's a good scene.
Because you knew it was coming. You knew from the moment where Qui-Gon introduces Anakin to Obi-Wan, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's about to go
down.
That
is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Anakin, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. Yep. When I see you again.
Meet your future.
He used to always come in the Apple store in Indianapolis.
Jake Lloyd?
Mm-hmm. He owns buildings and property there.
Really? I thought he's in jail now.
He might be, but still owns. Well, I mean, he probably doesn't own it a lot like anymore then, but.
song.
All right, good number four. Scalp.
That's a good one.
Okay. My number four is another depressing one, but it's some of the most
where the red fern
compelling.
I am compelled right now.
I mean, I don't know, shocking.
You're compelling me to listen.
Film out there. This is Spielberg. That's, you know, I've got.
Oh, I know what you're.
I think I've got two Spielbergs. So this is not a short.
I figured this one would be on your list.
Yeah. From the moment that this was made in 1998, people that were actually can relate to Normandy, D-Day, watching this said that it's with the closest thing that they could ever imagine it being. It's 30 minutes of basically unforgettable, gut-wrenching, horrific. It's not pleasant, but, I mean, you can't watch that without coming away with, like, pride utmost respect for the people that actually had to
live
do what they did. And I mean, throughout all of that, it begins with basically showing the shaking hands of Tom Hanks, the commander, and then by the end of that sequence, it shows, again, his shaking hands, kind of like through that 30 minutes, showing that he's just a human that basically had fears and everything, but you stand up and you do what you have to do to get through the you know, what's in front of you at the time. So heroes are fragile, I think is what somebody said one time. It's like, you know, anyway, okay, I'm done with that. So Saving Private Ryan, that opening sequence,
awesome.
That's a good one.
It's well shot, well done. That's my number four. Number four, Rick.
That's pretty good.
I think we'll probably all have I think Steven Spielberg movies will be.
He's
talked about a lot tonight.
Scenes. I think I got one more.
I think I could guess your one, but
I do have one more.
But I won't.
Yeah. You probably know.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I can't help it.
I know. I knew it'd be on yours.
You've not seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I've not seen all of it.
And I heard him. So, anyways, I'm going to do my number four, and the last three are Star Wars.
I thought you just have wrestling movies, but it's okay.
No Holds Barred is a good movie.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so this scene here, it's not just one scene, but this is from a movie called They Live.
Okay.
So, you guys gotta watch that movie.
Dude, it's awesome. I've seen it.
It's awfully awesome movie, man.
Yeah.
He puts the shades on and everything's different.
Yeah.
It's an alien invasion.
I have it.
But it's not a regular alien invasion. They offer you money. I mean, this is like a straight up political movie.
Yeah, it is.
They
yeah.
offer you money, they offer you wealth. I mean, it's crazy. But he puts these glasses on and the magazines say obey. You know, the money says, this is your God, watch TV, blend in. I mean, it's brutal. And then, of course, the scene that I'm talking about, he goes into a bank. It's a famous quote, I'm all out of bubblegum. Yep. And he shoots the aliens. I mean, that movie's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all times. I watch it all the time. I'm thinking of getting a tattoo of that movie because I can.
Like, but scene anyways, for scene?
No, just a tattoo of one of the aliens.
Oh, okay.
But I love that one. He puts the glasses on and he sees everything. It's, you know. It's just kind of
what
how
movie was that?
They Live.
It's a good movie.
Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper. It's awesome. Dun, dun, dun. It's a John Carpenter movie.
Which, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So many hits I love.
All right.
Man, good number four.
That's...
I think it's number three to you, Scalp.
All right. Number three came out in 2008. It's from the movie
2008, huh?
The Dark Knight.
I knew somebody was going to have this on there.
This was on my own.
Multiples in there. Yeah. Really.
I'm going to make this pencil disappear.
Oh, that part. Okay.
There's multiples from there.
That's really good. I just watched that.
But like the whole intro. Where he just comes in, like that whole sequence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that in IMAX.
Yeah.
It's filmed in IMAX.
Yeah. And like,
it was.
Where he just walks in, ha, ha, ha. And, you know, he's talking to the guys like, this nice suit, you guys ought to know, you bought it.
You bought it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You bought it. Man.
So good.
So
he's great.
Like that, just that whole intro, and then the magic, because that magic trick came out of nowhere. Because he put that pencil down, and you're like thinking, "What's he gonna do?" Yeah. And then he slams the guy's head. And like everybody in the theater was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's crazy.
So, yeah,
That's crazy in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah. That's my number three.
Good number three. Yeah, I almost had that one. Number three for me. This isn't. I don't think you would define this as like an awesome scene as much as probably the finest acting by an individual on film. I'm talking about obviously the great Tom Hanks with his, the end of Captain Phillips when let's see.
That man makes me cry.
Yeah, it says the camera holds on him. Hanks gives one of the most realistic portrayals of shock ever caught on camera. He can't process it. He can't process anything. It's not a happy ending. It's not what you were expecting from a film. You thought he got off the ship, you know, he'd go hug his wife, but really what you see is the breakdown of a human being, you know, as what everything that just happened just kind of like overwhelms him. And honestly, it's like the movie was okay. I liked the movie, but it got to the end and it's like it just shifted gears, and it's like the last 5 minutes was like so powerful to where it changed almost what you just watched. It's like it almost became real to you. It's like how much it impacted him. I don't know. It was phenomenal. I thought I was by myself, and then like I started reading, and people have kind of like agreed. That might be Tom Hanks' finest 5 minutes of acting, just wrapped up in a little. I mean, it's phenomenal. And I watched it, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and it's like, yep, it's still not the whole movie. I just kind of watched the end of it. And
well, it looks like he's like really in pain. Like he's really broken.
Yeah. Like he's
really
like he's out of his head. Yeah, he's not answering the questions correctly. They ask him about the blood on him. He's like, "It's not my blood. It's not my blood." And then and it's like you can tell he's not in his right mind. It's
he's
like
my favorite.
And they just let the camera roll. I mean, the camera just rolled for like 15 minutes.
He's phenomenal.
You know. It's like, anyway, okay, that's my three.
It's good.
So, to me,
still on number three. Right?
Oh,
yes,
Rick.
Yeah.
So my number three, this one, the Ginge. Is gonna agree with it. It's on his list too. So, like I said, little scenes that just like you're like, holy mackerel, right? You're gonna like this one too. So, Obi-Wan, R4, Boba Fett, Jango Fett. They're,
oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Bang, the seismic charges.
Oh, yeah.
And then when that happened in the theater,
I was like, what is this?
All of a sudden, it's like super quiet, and then boing.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was.
That, I love that scene. I rewind it when I watch it.
Yeah.
And I watch it all the time.
Seismic
charges.
Because
it's one of my favorite war movies.
Good. Yes, it is.
But yeah, the seismic charges coming out of the Jango Fett Slave 1.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, that is a good shot.
Rest in peace, R4. So yeah, R4.
I gotta stop that. Oh my gosh!
All right, so yeah, that's my number. What number was that?
That was three to Rev now.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know if we can.
Wow! All right. So again, this is a mid 1980s movie. For me, again, another movie that's like, I guess it's got a family connection. There's multiple parts of this movie starring Michael J. Fox that I would watch and rewind. Watch, rewind. The scene at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Back to the Future, you know, where he strums the guitar, big, huge speaker. I mean, awesome. But my favorite scene in Back to the Future, favorite moment is the Johnny B. Goode scene.
Oh.
When he goes off, starts playing the solo.
You know, doing, you know, that whole moment at the dance is cool. But, you know, to see, you know, Erlinger turn, then he starts jamming. I mean, I remember, like, rewinding that thinking, is he really playing that? You know, what's he really doing?
No, is he really playing the guitar?
Now, you can go on YouTube right now, and recently, it might have been a year or so, but recently, there is a Coldplay video where Coldplay does Earth Angel. and Johnny B. Goode, and guess who comes out and plays guitar? Michael J. Fox.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And, you know, that's what we're going to, because I, as a musician, and even back then, and I will call myself this, I'm a wannabe. I watched that thinking, man, alive, that's one of the coolest things.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do that. I want to play that. I want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just, you know, we would rewind it and lip sync to it, you know, and pretend, oh, man, I love it. Just fantastic scene. A great movie, or I think, great sci-fi movie.
That's got so many iconic scenes
in
it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
The flaming tire scenes where it shoots between their legs, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know how many times you've seen that. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, but moved.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Didn't do anything. That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was
so awesome. That's my three.
That's good.
Johnny B. Goode.
It's two now, right? Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm up to an upbeat one. Actually, this is kind of depressing, too.
Shannon has like a morbid bent on his.
These are this is what sticks with me, I guess. But this is a cartoon.
Depression.
This is a cartoon, so it's good.
Wally.
No.
Eva.
So this is.
Please stop me when I do stuff.
Yeah. This is a 3-minute scene, no words, just music, depicting the life of a man and a woman.
Oh,
their
my
marriage.
Gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
I remember hearing somebody talking about, like, you know, what the Twilight movies tried to do across 7 films that Pixar's Up did in 3 minutes, where they show the relationship between a wife, the good times, the bad times, the hopes, the dreams, the desires, the life, the death, the inevitable loneliness that follows, and then basically him picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, as the movie goes on, but there's a 3-minute sequence at the beginning just showing kind of what it means to share life with somebody. And really, it's amazing they squeezed what they did into that little bitty segment, but you can't watch that without just kind of
tearing up.
I mean, you feel it. Squirrel. And it's a cartoon, too, and that's another thing that always amazes me.
Yeah.
You're watching animation speak to you in that way. I mean, I'm a big fan of all Pixar movies. I think they do a really good job of telling a story. And
they do.
Ratatouille is a great movie.
Ratatouille's one.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, there was multiple... you know, Toy Story 3 had a scene that I really, really liked, but I went with this one instead. But that's my number two.
We need to do a sequel of this because there's so many.
There is, man. We'll
again,
definitely bookmark this.
I'm not listing these because they're better than the other. I just had to pick 5.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So my number two.
Number two, Rick.
So this is from Star Wars 1977, A New Hope. Or regular Star Wars back then. But anyways, when they walk into the cantina, when you're a little kid, and you see all these aliens, you see the hammerhead, you see who else
Wolf
is in
man.
There? Yeah, it's so cool. Then you see you see the band playing right?
It's my favorite song.
It's awesome when you're 6 years old and you're like, what on earth is this? And you're like in love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then later you grow up and you realize IG-88 is in the back in the cantina.
Yeah.
And you realize Bosk is in there and they just reused all the stuff to make Empire Strikes Back. They used all the parts to save money. Anyways, so when they walk into the cantina and they start showing all the aliens and all that stuff.
Right.
I love that.
Awesome
love
scene.
That's
love classic.
It.
Yep. That's iconic.
Love it, love it.
I liked how that wasn't the guys that were playing the like the trumpet or saxophone type things. That's what they were breathing out of, right? I mean, they...
What, for real? That's part of their bodies?
Well, I mean, no, the costume was designed that's how they would breathe.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, they had an issue with people overheating, and so they were, instead of poking holes, like, just in the mask, they were trying to get air to them through their ears, through any instrument that they had in their mouth was, like, hollow so they could actually suck. I don't know, maybe that was all made up, but I remember seeing that one time. Yeah. Anyway, great, great scene.
Yeah. Awesome scene. Awesome.
The hammerhead. I love the hammerhead.
Yeah.
That's actually Nathan. which is, I named my tortoise after him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You should.
Hammerhead. Yeah. No, I did. That's why my tortoise is.
You should have. You should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
Good choice. We approve.
Thanks.
All right. Good number two, Rick.
Thanks. Yeah, great number two. Thanks. Again, a movie's that there's multiple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome.
That's why I didn't put a Star Wars one in my list because there's so many. I felt bad, you know. Yeah, out of the 15 that I have, there's multiple ones in there. But
yeah.
This, my number two, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. comes from a sports movie. Now, I am a sucker for good sports moments. I watch a lot of sports movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you? Yeah. Yeah. Again, this has a connection with my dad. This was a movie that my dad loved to watch. You know, he would go on and on and on about certain scenes. Again, there's multiple scenes, but just the mix of the score, the mix of the tension that was built up, how they did it, put everything together, I think was top-notch. Again, Gene Hackman in the movie Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how can you
Hoosiers.
Get... How can you get any better? I mean, just listen.
Basketball bouncing. Shots in the air. Swish.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have goosebumps right now?
Yes.
I've never seen that movie.
I've seen that movie a bunch of times, Rick, and man, I cry.
Never
I
seen
mean,
Hoosiers?
It's emotional.
However, I met the guy. What's his name? Anthony Paizo. I met him at
the screenwriter
Honda because he was getting his. Honda
yeah, he lives in Bloomington.
Yeah, and he was nice, but I didn't know who he was. So
still,
yeah,
love the movie. The movie's great.
Rudy.
But that scene, I could have picked when Rudy got his sack at the end of the game, and his family's in the crowd. You know, scenes from The Natural when he, you know, when Roy Hobbs knocks the cover off the ball, then hits the homer at the end that goes into the lights. I mean, all tons of those scenes I get really emotional.
Yeah.
But this one, of any sports movie, this one gets me every single time. It's such a classic, well done scene, score, acting, everything, how they put it together was great. To the Hoosiers last second shot. I love it.
You know what sports
so
scene gets me really emotional when they start doing that in Angels in the Outfield. I'm just joking. Remember Angels in the Outfield?
I've never seen it.
So you've never seen Angels
in
the Outfield?
I've never seen it. I know what it is. I've never seen it. Number two, Scalf.
All right, number two. This was a scene that I did not expect to happen.
That's my number one.
It's Rick's number one. Happened in 2016.
Yep.
Makes me cry just thinking
about
it right
now. I love you.
Oh, I kind of forgot about this one.
This was the Darth Vader annihilation.
Yeah.
Going down the hallway.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's the moment that we saw the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Just all out killing people.
Yeah, that's... I'd kind of forgotten about that.
How could you?
It's bringing tears to my eyes right now just thinking about it.
Yeah. That is.
It's like it was like the scene that I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It.
I did not expect this to happen.
Nobody did.
It might be the single most. I mean,
it's
the
probably
best,
the single most scariest scene
like
in
two,
all of Star Wars.
What, what was it like? A minute and a half, 2 minutes? What?
I mean,
it's not very long, but I mean, it's. It's like it's awesome from.
As soon as you see the crimson saber,
yeah,
yeah,
he's just and you hear the.
Well, one of those scenes where everybody who's ever been a fan of those films wanted to see,
yeah,
since they were a little kid,
yeah,
you know, and you actually get to see it. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that,
things that you dream in your mind that somebody actually puts on camera is just awesome.
Yeah,
did we all see that together?
Oh,
I'm trying to remember seeing that in the theater because
yeah.
I remember looking over to the person next to me and it's just like. What just happened?
Yeah,
because I was like,
what did we?
I don't think any of us really knew that was coming. It's like we thought we were going to see Darth Vader. We're pretty sure we were going to see him, but not.
But
yeah.
Not like that.
Not
like
that.
It's like, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Good number two. All right, Rick, back to you for number one.
Well, don't you gotta do number two?
I started number two. Yeah. I did my number two.
He did number two. He did number two have multiple you times. Two? Yeah.
Have you gone number two?
That was my number two.
So my number one scene. Now, you gotta think, I've been a Star Wars nerd since I saw Return of the Jedi in Puerto Rico, and I fell in love with Jabba the Hutt. Okay, so anyway, so growing up, okay. He's basically the reason I'm a Star Wars fan, is Jabba the Hutt. Because I was like, what on earth is this? Just like the cantina. But anyways, so Darth Vader's always been one of my favorite characters. Well, probably my favorite, and R2's like my second favorite. Because without R2, everybody would have died in all the movies. But anyways, so every movie we see Darth Vader. Then in the prequels, we saw Anakin. He was pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. But we never saw Darth Vader as Darth Vader. So in Rogue One, we finally see him. I'm trying to up his story.
I know. I think we know where you're going with this, Rick.
Yeah, so my number one scene, this scene, I was like, it was the most glorious thing I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever, because I love Darth Vader.
It's like, Darth Vader's here, birth your children here.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Darth Vader's pretty up there. Okay. My kids are, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, and it was so crazy because we've never seen him like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, how do you throw a guy on the scene?
Bro.
Then you go, I mean, you already basically messed up the poor guy. And then you slice him in half, and then you open the door with a dude between your lightsaber and the door.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I got to stop talking because I'm about to bust out crying. Yeah. Here's what I loved about that scene. It was effortless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way they did it, it was effortless. He just went in there like, I don't care if there's
20. I do this all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care if there's 20 more of you. I will take you two out. So, yeah. So, that's my number one scene.
That's
I'm
awesome,
really
man.
Excited. I'm going to watch that when I get home. Now!
Now!
Now! And then my other favorite scene is when Samuel never mind. All right, go on.
Okay, I'm going far back for me. This movie came out the year I was born. This was one of those movies that my dad, again, my family has a connection with movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard me, you know, it's one way that we spend time together. And in fact, my wife is baffled that that's considered spending time together. But this is what, you know, my dad would watch a movie and he would say, you have to watch this. And you knew when my dad said that, that you would have to go into his room and sit there and watch a movie. He did it multiple times for so many movies. Yeah. And this is the movie that he always, you know, talked about. It's a movie that I grew to love. In fact, the first time I watched this movie, the whole thing, I just was filled with wonder. I'm like, this is just amazing. Again, it's Steven Spielberg movie. Let me just play this clip and see if you guys can.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that movie's so awesome.
Come on.
That movie.
When the mothership, you know, first, when they say, all right, or everything get, you know, quiet because they, you know, they know it's coming. And it's all quiet, and then they start to go, all these different ones, and then the mothership comes and starts to land, and then the communication happens. Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
Still, it still works for me today. I mean, I watched this movie not too long ago with my youngest daughter. I made her watch, and, you know, I pulled a dad.
Dude.
You know, and still, it's so such a phenomenal movie, Steven Spielberg movie.
That movie is so good.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why that movie frightens me.
Because it's in Indiana.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah. It
yeah. yeah.
Now, here's what scares me. Remember the dead cows, the mask, and
stuff? The conspiracy?
Yeah. And then Richard Dreyfuss comes to find out all that stuff's not real.
Yeah.
And then he sees the government agents with no mask on. They're just walking around. That freaked me out, man. Because that's like a big...
Oh, yeah.
Like a big cover-up.
Yeah.
And they kill cows and everything. I mean, it's
and just
awesome
the fact,
movie.
One of my favorite parts still is the whole movie, he's trying to find purpose. You know, why did they come to me? You know, and he can't make sense of anything. You know, makes the big, you know, makes that thing out of, you know, dirt in his yard and out of shaving cream. But at the very end of the movie, he makes his way all the way there, goes down, and who do they choose to go? Him. It's a sea of my gosh. I mean, still. They go and they grab him. Still gives me cold chills. But, again, that part of that movie is one of my favorite parts of all time. I mean, I watch it over and over and over.
Remember the hand signal?
Oh, yeah, man.
So that movie's legit. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
It's great.
It's one of those movies that I wish, not remake, but I wish, you know, every scene that has like a ship in it, that's kind of, I wish they'd cut it and kind of make it more now, mm-hmm. but leave everything else if they could, just because I think it would stand. I mean, it still stands up. I mean, it's still unbelievable for me, but I'm going off of nostalgia. But it's one that I think I wish they never remake, but if they could touch it up somehow, which Steven Spielberg said he's not going to let them do that to any of his movies.
No. He did it to E.T.
I know, but no more now.
No more? Just,
no more.
Just that one. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Still, great part of that movie.
They need to redo Batteries Not Included. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wow.
I have no idea what that movie's about.
Good number one.
All right. My number one has already been mentioned.
That's a good movie.
Came out in 1999. And it was kind of the one that I used as an example for you guys. But... The Matrix, when Neo dodges the bullets.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just...
I gotta rewatch those.
Just that scene, like... I saw that scene, and I was like... And Stevie remembers, because, like, back in the day, I used to do that move, actually.
When we fired Roman...
Roman
candles
at
you.
Me? Yeah.
And did it perfectly. Did it really well.
Yeah. So...
maybe we can reenact that.
Not
necessarily. Oh, it was awesome.
Out tons of movies, cartoons, you know, the scene where...
Yeah.
And, like... Just the bullet time. That was something that we had never seen before. I mean, it was just such a cool shot.
Very impressive.
Such a neat shot. Yeah. And it was all building up to that, like, kind of building up to that moment where he had to realize.
Yeah, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my number one.
Man, it's good number one.
I might go home and watch that one tonight.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
I got to work tomorrow. I got to work in a few hours.
Yes, we all do, Rick. Come on. Well, not Steve. this is Friday. So this one is another. What's the guy's name?
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Thank you, Steven Spielberg movie.
So you've had three.
Two.
I know what it is.
He didn't do Captain Phillips, did he? No.
No.
I know what it is. It's when Jaws.
No,
3D.
They're. No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So this is again. This is not a happy thing.
Man,
but I love. One day you guys will watch Schindler's List.
And I love that movie, bro.
Schindler's List is not a fun movie to watch, but it's one of the most powerful, probably one of the most important movies that you will watch. But there is I like to call it trigger. I don't know what they call it in
Spanish.
In movie talk, but you know there's. Things that directors will use to kind of like enact emotions or to let the audience know that the main character is going through something. Which, by the way, talking about Star Wars, I mean, we're talking to Liam Neeson here.
Yeah.
This is before Liam Neeson was Liam Neeson. No one really knew who he was. One of his, might be his best acting performance comes in Schindler's
List.
This is Darkman. Dang it, Rick. I'm trying to make a point here.
Great timing on that one, Rick.
So he uses a trigger in this movie, which it's a black and white movie. There's very little color. There's one or two things in it that's color.
That's so perfect.
But he starts using. There's a little girl in this movie that's got a little that's wearing a red coat,
dude.
And you see her in the background. You see her kind of like in the chaos of what's going on. I'm holding it together. I'm holding it together.
Sorry, man.
So yes. and every time this little girl shows up, it's basically a trigger that comes back to Liam Neeson's character, Oscar Schindler, and every time he basically gets weaker and weaker.
It's just the timing. Well, the timing was on.
His face
point.
Is as red at the dress.
The Rev has lost it. You know, we're talking about, like, the Holocaust here.
Yeah, I know. I feel like a total jerk right now.
So, it's probably got four or five times that this little girl shows up in this red coat. And it all culminates to the very end where he sees her for the last time, basically. Yeah, and the last time you see the red coat on the little girl is the trigger to Oscar Schindler's character, that basically he just flips a switch right there, and from then on out he's turned into, he transformed from the Nazi party to everything he can to against them. But anyway, it's a brilliant way to use that type of device to kind of like, and every time you see it, you think the same thing. Your eye kind of gets drawn to it in a sea of just black and white. Hundreds of people can be on the screen. You see this little red coat kind of dancing around, and every time you see it, he sees it. And it's brilliantly done. It's one of the most, you Google little girl in a red coat on the internet, it just pops up, and there's all kinds of people that have like stole that. I have no idea if you can give credit to Spielberg or not. Maybe that was something that was in the script or whatever, but I mean, he performed it beyond. I mean, every time you see it, it just pulls it, you know, makes your heart just hurt. But it works flawlessly. It works great. Again, one of these days, you guys will watch that movie.
I've seen it.
I need to.
I've seen it because then they show the dress. Don't they show the dress like without the girl in it?
Well, I mean, the last time you see it, basically they've dug up her lifeless body.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's basically just a corpse. You can't even recognize her, but you can see, you see the red kind of in this wheelbarrow of dead kids as it goes past. And that's the trigger that kind of, I mean, it's a horrific thing, but I mean, it separates what you've been seeing all this stuff through the movie. I mean, by the end of that movie, you see so much horrific stuff that it's almost, you don't get immune to it, but it's just like, oh, look, there's more dead bodies. But every time you see the red coat, it reminds you what's actually going on. It's just incredibly done. But anyway, boy, I hope my next list is happier than that one, because that one was mostly just stuff that bothers me. But I mean, I appreciate
but
it.
But it's a good movie. Especially the ending when they're putting the stones on the...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
If that doesn't move you, man, you're...
No. They track the lineage of the 1,100 people that he actually saved, and you track down those families, and it's like hundreds of thousands of people that, you know, he was able to single-handedly save. And he saved these people without firing a bullet. He saved these people without, you know he was a warrior, but in his mind, he was a war criminal. I mean, he really, even after everything that was done, he didn't really see himself as a hero. He had to go hide from the Americans because, I mean, he was basically part of the Nazi party. He was part of the Nazi party. At the beginning of the movie, he very much was. But, you know, and by the end of it, he turned into somebody that saved families, generations of families.
Yeah.
So, incredible story. Incredible movie. Was that the last?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Man, that was recommended by the trash man there for us to do that.
Yeah.
Good one. Again, we need to do another one.
Yeah, we need to do a...
Are we going to swing into jokes real quick, or are we going to skip that this week?
It's
time for some jokes!
I guess that answers that. Love that intro.
Beastie Boys.
Anybody bring anything this time?
I got a few now. Again,
I just got like four.
Some of these might be classics because I forget what jokes we do.
I know it's good.
But that's okay.
I've set a quick timer, okay. 5 minutes. We'll
Here
see
we go.
If
ready?
Okay. Can even do it.
I met Bruce Lee's vegetarian brother today.
What?
His name is Bracco Lee.
I saw it coming too.
Bracco Lee.
Broccoli.
What?
We wish him
well.
Oh,
no.
Stop.
No.
Stop. That's messed up, man. Hey, you know that not... Oh, man. Do you know...
Wished him well.
Hey, do you know that not...
Can
oh.
you edit that into the beginning?
No. Oh. Hey, you need to...
Wow.
Hey, you know that not all math jokes are lame.
Okay.
Just some.
Hey, so why can't fish cry?
Why?
Because they don't have eyebrows.
What?
That's a horrible dad joke.
This one's actually for Scalf. Scalf?
Yeah.
Little dating advice. Never date cross-eyed people.
Okay.
They might be seeing somebody on the side.
Oh, that's good.
With great power comes great electricity bill.
Hey, what do you call an egg that doesn't believe in Santa Claus?
What?
But agrees there is some magic in Christmas?
What?
Agnostic.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
When midgets talk about their childhood, do they go like, when I was little?
Oh my gosh. No! Man, why are the North Koreans the best at geometry?
Why?
Because they've got a supreme ruler.
Wow!
Okay, so the broccoli says. the broccoli says, hey, look, I look like a tree. And the mushroom says, wow, I look like an umbrella. And the walnut says, man, I look exactly like a brain. And the banana says, man, can we change the topic?
That's a good
one. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Hey, why didn't the toilet paper make it across the road?
Why?
Because he met with too many cracks on the way.
Oh, wow. What kind of car does Darkman drive?
What?
A Liam Neeson. That is so lame.
You can't do that after what just happened. I got a headache.
Oh, man. And Shannon couldn't laugh at that last
time. I was trying to keep it together. Hey, my neighbor. Oh, my goodness. Composure. Oh, my neighbor came at me really aggressively the other day. Did I tell you about this?
No.
She started asking me if I knew about her underwear disappearing from the clothesline.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I almost crapped her pants.
That's messed up, man.
So wow. Messed up.
I hate spelling errors.
Yeah.
You mix up two letters and your whole post is urine.
I think this might be a Rev joke. I think maybe you've done this already. Don't you hate it when you come to a place and they just wait? Don't you hate it when you come to somebody's place and they just can't shut up asking you stupid questions like, "What do you want? What are you doing here?" And oh my goodness, is that a real gun?
Yeah.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
I think I remember somebody doing that.
I just got one more joke because I'm done.
Okay.
So pies in Cuba are $2.50. Pies in Jamaica are $3.50. Those are the pie rates of the Caribbean.
Oh, jeez.
That part?
No.
That's Scalf.
That's Scalf.
I'm done.
He larded.
Rates of the Caribbean.
You know they say that you can't get a decent job without an education, but look at Albert Einstein. He was a dropout and still ended up the first man on the moon. I like that one. Anybody a redneck here?
Not me.
So
yeah.
When two rednecks divorce, do they still remain family? Okay, there we go.
Perfect timing.
Yep. All right, we're done.
That's great.
That's awesome.
We're done. All right. Let's roll into the last here. What do you think, Rick?
I think that as soon as I find it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have a headache. I don't know if I can do this.
Maybe it's the heat.
It's the heat.
I know.
I'm dying right now.
Yeah, I might have to have...
You know, the nerd cave is nice and cold. Just so y'all know. Just saying.
Just saying.
Okay,
so yeah, I want to mention this. I mentioned this earlier, that a movie that I watched over the weekend that, I don't know, it was, I don't know the best way to describe it. I figured it'd be good here so the people listening to us will go watch it. Because there's some Christian movies that need to be supported. Because why? Because number one, they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Because their budgets are low. And especially if there's a quality one, as a lot of us who are avid moviegoers, we want Christian movies to be quality.
Sure.
So when there is a quality one, like The Case for Christ, should have made tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood will then make more.
Sure.
Make more quality, you know. So this weekend, I knew this movie was coming out. Didn't watch the trailer because, to be honest with you, as a worship leader, I've sang or led worship to the song "I Can Only Imagine" by Mercy Me over my lifetime. Not much aware of it now, but before, over and over and over and over. I mean, I heard the song. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a song that I think we've all heard tons of times, right? I Can Only Imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we all know the lyrics. We could all sing it easy. So, you know, when you hear a movie being made about I Can Only Imagine, you're like, okay, sure. I guess that's a good idea. And so I didn't plan on watching. In fact, I was trying to watch some other movies. And my wife's parents, Larry and Vicky, got a hold of Heather and said, you guys have to go watch this movie. Go tomorrow. We've got them watching. It's amazing. So I'm like, okay, you know what? We'll take our kids tomorrow. You know, we need something to do. Spring break's ending, yada, yada. And we go, and number one, the movie's packed at 1 o'clock.
Really? Wow.
In Bedford.
That's cool.
Which is hard to do.
Yep.
And so we're sitting there, you know, go through the whole host of trailers. Start to watch the movie. And, I mean, I'm not kidding you. I was emotional the whole way through. One, because it speaks to some things I experienced with my dad. I can't say that my relationship with my dad and Bart Miller, lead singer of Mercy Me, his relationship with his is the same, but there are elements of it.
Right.
So not only was it a good message, it was hitting real close, you know, to me. You know, when you watch the movie, and you see that this you know, this wasn't a guy who can you open that for me? This wasn't a guy who, squeaky clean guy. I mean, he had a story, rough story, powerful story. And yet what, you know, his whole life story ended up, you know, pouring into this one song that is what, one of the most downloaded, bought Christian songs of all time.
Yeah.
All time. His band hadn't even made it, Mercy Me, until that song. So they were on the road playing all these places, didn't have a contract, wrote that song, recorded that song, changed people. You know, toward the end of the movie, you know, you go through the story and you see how it impacted his dad and how he saw his dad get saved. And, I mean, you know, his dad goes through cancer. All this stuff hit super close to home to me. But as the movie's, you know, ending and I'm, you know, weeping because very end of the movie he's singing the song for the first time in front of a crowd. And that's when it goes huge. And just powerful moment. A knowing I live up to it. And I was just sitting there thinking, man, you know what? As a wannabe songwriter, I would give anything to write one song that could impact tons of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one. You know, I would give anything. If I could write one song that the church would sing and that people would be impacted by, to where they're, you know, this song changed my life. He helped me through a tough time. I mean, you know, I have some other musicians and music lovers here. Wouldn't we want to do that? I mean, just one. I mean, I'd love it.
Absolutely.
I mean, one, God, please. You know, just give me one. So I'm sitting there, and, man, I'm emotional. I'm like, ugly crying. And there's even a moment in the movie when, you know, he goes back and, you know, it's kind of like the culmination of everything. And he goes back to see his dad It's when he finds out his dad has cancer, and he flips down the visor of his dad's truck because he's trying to get out because he hates his dad. And he flips down the visor, and there's a pamphlet from the hospital that says, you know, information about pancreatic cancer. Well, that's what my dad had. You know, and that's we lost him because of that. And so I'm like doing this in my seat. I'm like, okay, I gotta get out of here. This is too close. You know, I had no idea this was gonna do this. Yeah. And so I'm like, get me out of here. But then, you know, as the movie winds up and I mean, you know, you're so inspired. I mean, I left thinking, oh my gosh, I you know, inspired. And as I'm walking out of there, God says, you know, that's not the only song that I've done that with. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know. And he's like, no, go to the Psalms. So you guys know what Psalms is? Mm-hmm. The book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, written from 16th century B.C. all the way up to the 5th century, written by numerous authors, 73 to David, some to Asaph, some to the sons of Korah, some to one to, you know, to Solomon, to Moses, some anonymous that you don't know, written at various moments. And again, you know, the song I Can Imagine was written by a real person going through a real experience, having to rely on a real God. And that song ended up impacting people for real. But yeah, God's saying, go to Psalms. I'm still doing that. And so I shared a psalm last night in church, and I'm not going to break this down, but for those out there listening and for us here at this table, this song is about finding rest in tough times. And that's all I'll say without, you know, I want to put my pastor hat on and my Bible school hat on and really break it down. But let me just read this first phrase. So this comes from somebody who God has placed him in a certain spot. He's called them to be in a certain spot, and they are doing exactly what God wants them to do, but yet the whole time they feel like people don't want them there. And have you guys felt that?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing exactly what God wants. You're not doing anything bad. You're doing exactly mm-hmm. what God wants. You are where he has called you to be, where he has anointed you to be, where you are serving him. As you know, right? We're supposed to serve God as Christians. You're serving him. But yet you feel like the enemy or the world is continuing wanting to take you apart. Obviously, I'm talking about David. But I want to read two verses and see if this impacts you. Now, get this thought in mind. David uses two verses right in there in 3 and 4 that says what people are doing. You know, they want to pull me down from my high position. Basically, they want to pull me down from where God has placed me. That's what he says. And they're doing it with this image of mine, of somebody running at him, rushing at him, with screaming out loud with a fist up at him. Okay, that's what he's saying. There's people running at me, trying to take me from where God wants me. But just like I Can Only Imagine has a chorus, you know, song, a part of the song that is, you know, that's repetitive, that's the hook. Mm-hmm. It's meant to bring you in. Well, here's the hook that David wrote. Verse 1 and 2, it says, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Never. So again, this isn't it's a guy who's just sitting there happy, smiling around. Oh, life is great. Life is grand. I'm doing great. This is a guy who is around people or have people coming at him, wanting to ruin him, wanting to remove him from where God has placed him. And what's he doing? He's just doing what God has anointed him to do. I've been there. I'm sure, you know, but this is what he's saying. He's like, truly, my soul finds rest. Mm-hmm. Now, this rest isn't a nap. You know, it's not rest that comes from, you know, like when you work or when Shannon works or when you guys work at your jobs and you get done, you go home. What's the first thing that you want to do?
Sit down. Sit on the sofa.
Why? Because you're tired. Mm-hmm. Mental exhaustion. That's not this kind of rest, okay? So, if you know, this word rest means relief that comes, that God gives you from external evil forces. So relief that comes from being in it. So you are being attacked, pulling at you, trying to bring you down, trying to, you know, wherever God has placed you, pulling you. when that happens over and over and over, how do you feel?
Drained.
Exhausted?
Yeah. So this is David. Mm-hmm. He's there. He's there with us. You know, if you feel that way, we might not be a king, but guess what? We are where God has placed us. We are in a high position, you know, thanks to him. Mm. We were down low, and we have been lifted high. You know, we were orphans, now sons, and, you know, yada, yada. Lost and found. But yet we feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you're doing. But this is what he says. Truly, my soul finds rest. Truly, there is relief when I'm waiting here in my attack. You know, instead of getting anxious and saying, well, you know, when is this over? What can I do?
Yeah.
Who can get me out of here? Do I need to change my, you know, do I need to change church? Do I need to change job? You know, blah, blah, blah. David's saying, okay, wait. I'm going to wait in silence. That's what one of the phrases says. I'm going to find rest here. And he says that because he's saying, I expect God to do something.
Hmm.
So the attack's coming, and even the get this. So verse 1 says, truly my soul finds rest. If you go to verse 5, see how he says it's different. So verse 1, truly my soul finds rest. Verse 5 says, yes, my soul find rest. Hmm. What's the difference in those phrases?
He accepts like he's at rest.
Yeah, well, he's talking to himself.
Uh-huh.
Up front, this is what I'm supposed to do. Truly, my soul finds rest. But verse 5, yes.
Yeah.
Comma, my soul, please find rest.
Hmm.
So he's in it. And so he's waiting on God, saying, okay, I know this is happening, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to find my silence, trusting God. And this is how he ends in verse 11 and 12. And this is what I want to say. This is God's response. This is how God responds to us. When we feel exhausted, when we feel tired, when we're tired of people tugging at us and pulling at us and trying to bring us down from where God has put us. In verse 11, he says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, phrase is significant because it's used that way to bring emphasis. Okay, that's a language thing. They use that to say, okay, the next thing I'm saying is important. So verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. The first thing, power belongs to you, God.
Mm-hmm.
In some translations, all power belongs to God. Now, we've experienced powerful things.
Mm-hmm.
Nature is pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the human brain is. Words are. Good words, bad words, they have an impact. So we know about powerful things. But this is what David's saying. I'm going to sit here and wait because I, you know, and he lists a bunch of things about God. God is my rock. He's my fortress. You know, reasons that he can trust in God in that moment. But then he says, I'm really waiting because I think God's going to do something. And this is what, God's going to respond to me in my situation with power, all power. But he also says this. He's also going to respond in his unfailing love. So not only is God going to respond in power, he's going to respond in his love. What about his love is so important?
It's unconditional.
Yep.
That verse says, power belongs to you, O God. And it says, when with you, Lord, is unfailing love. It's this Hebrew word that I've been waiting to jump into for a long time. If you're there on Wednesday night, you know, heard me. I could do a whole sermon series on this. It's a Hebrew word called hesed. And that's the central of Jewish theology. When Jesus was growing up, learning prayers, you know, learning everything about his Jewish faith, this word would have been at the center of everything. And it's a Hebrew word for God's love for his people and for Israel.
It's hesed?
Hesed. It's massive. Like, you know, we have the Greek word agape. This is the Hebrew word hesed, and it's huge. And it's not just like a mental thing, right? I love pancakes. It's a word that is beyond just thought. It's an action.
Mm.
Hesed. So it's moving towards you. It's coming at you. It's intervening in your life. It's flowing to you, flowing through you, going around you. Okay, it's hesed. So David's saying, okay, God, here I am. People are bringing me down, but I'm going to wait because because I know who you are. You're a rock. You are a fortress. You're my salvation. You're my glory. All these amazing words that we don't have time to get into. But then he says, and I'm waiting because I know who you are, but I know how you're going to respond. You're going to respond to me in my situation with power, all power, and what? With your unfailing love that's unconditional. I can't break it. I can't be separate from it. I can't move away from it. It's always going to be there. I can always run back to it. Hmm. And then he says this, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. It's a powerful psalm. I mean, huge. Like,
which psalm is that?
Psalm 62. And what he's saying at the end is, God, if I'm faithful, you're going to respond to me in power and in your love based on my faithfulness. Because you are faithful. I am faithful. I'm staying here. I'm doing what I'm doing. But there's a flip side to that. For those wanting to destroy, it says, you reward everything according to what they have done. Goes kind of back to sowing and reaping. If you sow destruction, what are you going to reap? If you sow evil, what are you going to reap? And you know, that's what he's saying. God, I know who you are. You're my rock. You're my foundation. All these things, amazing Hebrew words, powerful images. And he's like, I can wait because of who you are, but I can wait because you're going to respond to me based off of your character, which is all powerful, all loving. And I know, God, if I remain faithful and I remain in it, that you're going to reward me based off of my devotion to you. I mean, that's cool. I love it because it's not, you know, David standing away from it looking back, oh, God, you know, I remained faithful. He's like, God, I'm here. Soul, please, 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 please find rest. I'm dealing with it. I don't know. It just, watching that movie and seeing that basically that's what he's learning in that moment. That's why he writes that song. He's learning how to deal with everything that he's going through. And even in that moment, all the emotions, saying, okay, God, this is really where I'm at. And then going to how we've had some of these truths in our pages of our Bibles for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Songs that are meant to be sung and remembered that do the same thing for us, that inspire and encourage and impact. I don't know. That song, you know, as I study these psalms, you know, I'm preaching on them on Wednesday nights. Man, I can't get away from them. They're just so powerful, so full of unbelievable truth and things that are meant to change how we live, but yet encourage us if we're in a bad spot. So, yeah. Psalm 62, everybody read it, enjoy it, and know that David's going through, he went through some of the things that we did.
Verses 7 and 8 are actually in a Lecrae song that he did for Haitian relief.
Really?
After the hurricane. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. So hopefully that encourages somebody. If you're tired, just wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
You're not alone. That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah, it was.
Whew. Okay.
All right.
That's it. Seeable Truth is over.
I think that's it for Seeable.
All right, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdoutcast. Check out our website, www.thenerdoutcast.com. Send us an email, nerdoutcast4@gmail.com. Send us a voicemail, 812-297-8801. Is that everything?
That's everything.